How y'all doing? So this is Juxta Radio Podcast, first episode. Today we're going to be talking about a police-free society, and we're going to try to come up with the kind of course or lab description that's going to be on our website that just been renovated. And so how it's going to go is I'm going to introduce the subject topic, and what we'll do is I'll ask a general question to kind of get us started, and then we'll kind of go in a circle to the left, and we'll have each person have about maybe a minute or two to give their initial response or opinion or feed in, and then we'll go to the next person after a minute. So what we'll need for this conversation to be structured and organized is a volunteer timekeeper, if anybody could do that. Sure. Now, we ask that we all participate, like, to the rules, so that way it's, like, thorough and everybody could be heard. So I guess we could hop right up into it, and we'll talk about police-free society at first. Now, I'm going to start it pretty simple. What does a police-free society look like? And we're going to let... Oh, I'm sorry. We should introduce ourselves. I'm sorry. I forgot all about that. It's still, like, you know, raw. So I'm Kais. I'm an apprentice here at Jux. I'm lead apprentice in the textile lab. I've been here for about a year. And that's my intro.
I'm Tasia. I'm an apprentice in the textile lab.
I'm Otis. I'm also in the textile lab as an apprentice.
Can you pass that down?
I'm Alina. I'm one of the newest, been here for a few weeks.
I'm Asharia, and I'm an apprentice at the textile lab too.
This is Hans. I'm a worker at Juxta.
All right, so that's our talking group right there. And we're gonna jump into the topic of discussion. The topic of the discussion is police-free society. And my opening question is, what would a police-free society look like? I'm going to open the floor to whoever wants to jump right in and chime in first. Any volunteers?
What would it look like?
What would be needed? Is it a real possibility? How would we have, like, what would we place them?
I think it is a possibility. Most definitely, because there are, like, if we had, like, our own people from our own community come and, like, serve and protect our own communities, people who are actually from here, I feel like we would be more safe. Because there's, like, troopers, you know, there's, like, police officers that live, like, all the way out in Wisconsin, yeah, and they come out here to patrol our communities.
They don't know, like, what the neighborhood's like or who everyone is, so, like, removing people who are from out of town and replacing them with actual citizens of that, like,
that city, live there,
that actually live there with the people, like, that could, like, be huge.
Huge, yeah. I also agree. I think, requiring police officers to live in the vicinity or the area that they live in would be detrimental to the kind of the transition from, like, criminal justice to civic justice, where we're seeing people who commit these I don't know another way to call them, but crimes, or maybe civic disobedience, maybe, but that usually is associated with protests and stuff. But
okay.
Well, that was supposed to be like a time for one person. But I think we could just, have it like an open discussion. But I think, like, you know, that will start the transformation of the language of criminal justice versus, you know, dealing with people who do things that we do not, as a society, kind of accept as norm or accept as, you know, whatever wrong. Yeah. You could speak up.
It's kind of hard to see what it would look like without police, because it could change a lot of things. Like, people could use that to their advantage to kind of not really take over, but kind of rule over things, since there isn't any barriers per se. And people could take really a lot of advantage of that.
That's valid. You got any opinion on it?
I sort of agree. Like, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, there's always going to be a hierarchy. So, in this present hierarchy, it's the government officials, then it's the police, then it's the citizens. So, if you take away the police, it's just going to be the government officials and the citizens. And the police are there to be that, you know, mediator between the government, because most citizens don't know the law, which is why the police are there to enforce the law. So when you don't have someone there to enforce the law, there's going to be a lack of civil obedience, which there is already a lack of anyway.
Right.
So
I
think it'll go downhill from there.
You got some?
That's the thing. We would have, we would have people from our own community who actually live here to be patrolling.
So is that like the replacement? So
yeah, instead of people, like, I feel like it should just be like a rule. Like, if you live in this city, then you can join the team. You know what I mean? To like protect it or do whatever.
I also agree. And, with the statement Tasia just made, I do understand your statement of, like, you know, the need of some type of mediator for, you know, the society individually to deal with each individual cases and stuff, and it'll take like an organized force in order to be able to appropriately respond to, you know, that kind of demand that the police currently have. I also kind of, I hear what you're saying with people would want to take advantage of, you know, the police free society, being that there's no one too readily available to enforce law or order.
But then you have to think about what is right and what is wrong. A lot of people's concept of what you might think is right is wrong to them. So right. Who are these people who are going to enforce? Like, there has to be an overarching law. There has to be an overarching rule.
Well, so, break that down. What do you mean an overarching law or rule?
So here's a good example. Or here's an example. If I say that stealing is wrong, but someone else says, well, I'm hungry, so I'm going to steal, but you are able to work. And I say, well, you have to use the money that you worked for to buy something. And they say, well, no, because I'm hungry. So therefore, if that food is there for me to eat, I'm going to eat it. Exactly. So that right there is a confrontation that, say, if I was that person to step up from my community and say, well, I'm here to protect my community, and you're just going about your own version of the law, you won't even listen to me, and I'm here from the community. So it has to be an understanding of what is right and what is wrong.
So are you saying, like, that authoritative piece that, like, the police just mere presence makes is, like, you know, when we come around, you got to kind of, you know, act like you got some sense.
Exactly.
like, you know, you gotta not conform.
And it's not more so a fear factor, but it's knowing that they have the authority to put you in a position that you don't want to be in if you don't follow the law.
Right. And I think that in itself is the reason why we have the miscommunication and mistrust between the police and its community right now, though, is because off of that authoritative piece, they, in my experience, seem to over-exhort. Is that a word? Exhort?
Mm-hmm.
Exert. Yeah, over-exert their authority just because they really have the ability to, and they're not really, you know, they do their own internal investigations. Most throughout the 150-year history of Minneapolis Police Department has been them really checking themselves. There is no, like, you know how the three branches of government, you got the legislative,
right,
you got the executive, and you got the judicial branches that kind of check each other and, like, have limits of their power. But in society, the police are almost, like, limitless in their access or ability to enforce any type of discrimination, scrutiny, malign behavior. Like, so they don't really get checked. And then the programs that have been created to kind of do that checking for civil cases and stuff against police department, they really don't get, you know, all the necessary funding or any of that.
Social justice.
Yeah, it's like no type of social justice if you're trying to go against the established authority. And that's why I think there needs to either, I won't say there needs to be an abolishment of the police, but I would say that there needs to be a radical reformation of their culture and how they kind of patrol and, you know, how they patrol us.
I've heard there's a really good quote about the police and their necessity, and it goes, "The police become necessary in human society only when that society is split between those who have and those who do not have." So, do you think of police as, do you think that the police brutality and violence against people by police, do you think that all these things are an issue in, like, in rich areas? You know, do you think that people in Minnetonka feel the same way about the police as people do in North Minneapolis, and why do you think that is?
No and yes, because of the simple fact that no, because it's an obvious no, but yes, because the way this culture works is more like those. I was reading a fashion book, and basically it was saying that the way fashion works is because it works how hip-hop works. So those people who have been through the struggle, those people who have been in those positions where they didn't want to and they made it out, those are the people we're looking at. Those are people we're trying to model. So those people in those areas like Minnetonka, those people are modeling those gentrified, impoverished areas. So whichever way you want to look at it, there needs to be a clear leader to follow. There has to be a clear person to follow.
In terms of what?
In terms of what is right and what is wrong.
Well, I'm saying that people in Minnetonka, they're not going to get came after as much as people over north, because they don't have the legal ability to fight back. As people in Minnetonka, they're going to have money to legally fight back. And those people, the people in North Minneapolis, they're going to end up in jail. They're going to get made money off of regardless because they're going to jail. Those people in Minnetonka, they're going to fight back with the best of the best of the lawyers to make sure that whatever they did, even if they were right or wrong or whatever they did, that they're not going to go to jail.
For sure. and they're probably also not going to encounter the police in the first place, because if you think about most crime or so-called crime, it's crime of poverty, whether it be hustling, stealing stuff, being out late at night doing something shady, or like being in a position where somebody else is doing something and you're in the mix. Like, these are situations that people get in that have a lot more to do with your economic situation and the economic realities of your life than your moral, whether you're a good person or not, you know?
Definitely.
And I think that that has a lot more effect on how the police treat people in certain neighborhoods than whether or not the people in those neighborhoods are good people or model citizens or law-abiding or whatever.
So that kind of like brings me to one point that I was going to try to make, which is like, why are they necessary now? Like, if anybody wants to hit on that, like, why do you think police are necessary now? What is their role? I heard you, Otis, talk about how like they're that median factor, that champion between the officials, the lawmakers, mm-hmm. and the citizens who, you know, abide by the law.
Right.
They're that that middle ground, that enforcement, or that support, depending on which side of the courtroom you're on.
Right.
So if you could, like, anybody could chime in, why are they necessary now? Like, what will we be losing by getting rid of them?
I would say this is taxing.
You said what?
I would say this is taxing.
That's the truth.
What they say is they're supposed to be serving and protecting with what does it say
with
on the
courage.
Card? With courage.
So who do they serve and what do they protect?
Not the community. Well, not every community, I should say.
Elaborate on that.
Like, if we went to a different community, like you guys were saying, what was it?
Minnetonka,
or, you know, like Duluth or something, way up north. They're serving and protecting them, but, like, if they come over here, I don't know. Do you get my point or no?
Are you saying, like, they protect them differently because they got different issues for that community, or is
they
it?
They judge them differently versus how they judge us.
I get you.
I don't know. My story is kind of different. I don't know if it's because of just how I carry myself, or just me being blessed enough not to have those type of interactions. But I've never had trouble with the police whatsoever. I've never ran into them. I've never been
harassed.
And like every time, or racially profiled. And even if I was pulled over, like I've been pulled over in a car before with my grandfather, and he let us go. It was just like, I don't know. I just have a different outlook on things. And maybe it is because of the simple fact that I haven't had those interactions. But for me, I say it'll be losing the sense of law. Like, without the police, people will just do whatever they feel so is right. Like, I have a clear understanding of what is right and what is wrong. And a lot of people don't. And in Minnesota, what is right is not to sell drugs, because that's the law. You're not supposed to sell drugs. But every day, I go downtown, all I hear, loud, loud, loud. And I'm like, well, if y'all know that's not right, why y'all doing it? It's just simple stuff like that. Like, a lost right. There's a lack of common sense, which means there's a lack of what is right and what is wrong.
say? Let me think. What's the question again?
The question is, like, what will we really be losing by eliminating the law enforcement, or particularly the police office?
Well, when you lose something, you gain something. So there's going to be something in replacement of the police, regardless, like they said. There's going to be a different law enforcer, and it might not be the police. It might be better, or it might be worse. You never know, but something's going to have to replace that situation there. We're too conformed to that. This is the beginning of time.
It's like the because it's socially accepted to have police, we kind of associate their presence with, you know, just being what is right. And if we're on the opposite of their, if the handcuffs aren't on their belt and on us, then we know that we're doing something wrong, right?
Yeah, but like you said, right and wrong is all about perspective. It's all the eyes of the beholder.
And a lot of times I feel like these officers come with their own issues and their own biases.
Which we all do. We all have our own issues and biases.
But as a...
police officer don't care if I'm having a bad day and I do something I'm not supposed to do, so why should I care if they're having a bad day?
Because out of respect and out of love, you understand that he's having a bad day.
If I'm not getting mutual respect, why should I respect somebody who doesn't respect me from the get-go because they're having a bad day?
And on that point, to say, like, just because you have a position of authority does not mean that you're due any type of respect at all. Just because you have an official capacity does not mean that my capacity means any less because of who you are. Because I still live life just like you do once you take off the uniform. But the thing is, you could hide behind your uniform whenever you perform grievous acts against anyone from my particular community, or just anybody that looks like me or who resembles me or have similar characteristics or features. Like, and I'm not even trying to play the race card or nothing, but like, when
just
we look
at what
they've
done to our people in the past, it's like, not less than 50
exactly,
years ago.
Exactly what
look
I'm
at
getting
what the
at.
Police were doing to them like less than 50 years ago, like spraying them with fire hoses and shit.
Participating in securing the lynchings
families.
Of like young children, kind of creating a public profile to.
You should move closer.
Yeah.
It just don't make sense. Like, I swear, like, police, they supposed to be able to protect people. I swear, like, everything I love, they abuse their power. That's point blank period. That's what they do. Most of the time, they can help people. I've seen police help people before, but most of the time, they're going to abuse their power because they have it. Point blank period. And that's with anybody. That's with anything. If I have power, I'm most likely going to use it. Just like if I have money, I'm most likely going to use it.
There's a movie called The Experiment or something where, like, it was a psychology theory being tested out where
is what we're talking about.
Yeah, so, but not necessarily because...
But they took out the police. So if you think about it, that whole movie is what you're explaining right now.
Well, let me explain the movies for the listeners real quick. So in The Experiment, they get a bunch of college students. This was like mid-1960s or whatever. And they tell basically half the group that they will be correctional officers and the other half that they're going to be patient or something that, you know, the authority would have to maintain and take care of. And at the beginning or something, they were given like this disclosure list that said that they had all these rights and stuff and can quit whatever they wanted to. But so once the trial immensed or started, they kind of forgot that they had these rights because of the ease and the willingness that the people who were told that they had this authority would exert their authority. And some of them caught on and left the experiment, and most of them did not. And the experiment ended up lasting a little while longer than they were supposed to, just because, like, the participants did not leave. And the experiment was to see like how people react when assumed authority is like presented to them, and when like volunteer authority is given to a person. And I think that experiment was a great kind of descriptive, symbolic message to, you know, the state of us as citizens and police as our shepherds almost. Like, because we feel like they take care of us, then there's some of us who believe like they do this utmost respect, like they put their lives on the line every day when, you know, just like you guys are just criticizing a drug dealer. Like, they go to that way because that's how they understand to kind of make a way where they feel there isn't a way. And like, if we're being truthful, it goes way bigger than just the police, because if there were programs and opportunities to kind of curb the need for this monetary compensation called money, or, you know, if there was different ways to kind of have access to ability to progress and like advance your position and condition of life, I think, and I'm pretty sure, because most people really want to do the best for themselves.
There is.
But hold on. And most people want to do something positive for themselves. They just are limited in ability, access, and, you know, the communication. They don't, not everything is broadcast like how it's broadcast to get out and go vote, you know.
But it is, though. If you think
it is available, but it's not like marketed how get out and vote at a go. Like, they won't tell you that there's just this legislation that passed that truly affects how much money you can make. But what they will do is tell you that you need to go vote on these officials that make those decisions for you.
Look at it this way. Literally, everyone owns an iPhone. Literally, everyone. Especially the people who don't have anything. Because if you look at it, the people who have the most money, they don't dress like the people who don't have money. The people who have wealth don't dress like the people who have wealth. People who don't have wealth, they have all the designer clothes, they have everything that's new that's coming out. All the Jordans, everything new that's coming out. But the people who understand how money works and how wealth works, they go to Skechers. They buy Fred Perry, polo, khakis, call it a day. But they invest in other things. So if everyone has an iPhone, if everyone has this tool that can be used to do anything and everything you want it to do, what is stopping you from using that to, say, filling out an application online? The thing is, people in our generation, we want quick fixes. We want quick things. We don't have patience. We really struggle. Our generation really struggles with patience. We want everything quick. We want quick gratification. Instagram, I get a like right away after I post this picture 20 seconds ago. We want everything. We're so accustomed to having everything quick. We don't want to take time to do things. And that's what stops us from even wanting to want better for ourselves, because we think we deserve everything right then in that moment, when everything that's worthwhile
takes some time. Dedication.
Exactly. Time, dedication, whatever you want to call it. Everything that is worthwhile takes time.
Hans, I want you to chime in. We haven't heard from you yet.
I don't know. I kind of got lost there. I don't know how it really relates to that. I mean, I guess it depends on the certain person. I guess our generation is really consumed by the internet and how we use our phones. I feel like that's just very few people. I mean, that's a lot of people, but I feel like it's not everyone. It's not like all of us.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say, like, I agree with you, but then, like, I don't agree with you because, like, yeah, I agree, like, because some rich people do, like, not invest their money on like material items, I guess, but like that goes for anybody, you know what I mean? Everybody's different. I know if I'm rich, I'm still gonna be dipped You know what I mean? Like, it's all about your perspective on life. It's
all about personality.
Yeah, it's all about your personality. You know what I mean? I still agree, but I, like, halfway disagree. You know what I mean?
My question is, though, like, so it's not a question, but it is. It's like, so are you suggesting that because the advancement of technology, our humanity and our societal access, like, to different types of, whether it be programs or schooling or jobs or whatever, you know, you need in order to get you to that next step. Are you suggesting just because technology advanced that the human kindliness towards each other, or I would say, what is another word? It has humanity advanced because technology advanced?
It's more so like, say, okay, here, I'll put it in this way. If I am struggling with an addiction, or no, I'm not even gonna put it that way. If I'm struggling with money, if I'm having money issues, and literally all I have is my phone, I could go to the nearest Caribou Coffee, nearest Starbucks, nearest school, the nearest bus. There's buses with Wi-Fi now. I could literally go on the bus. While I'm on the bus, Google search how to get more money in a legal way. There's everything you want is out there for you. That's the point of having a phone. That's the point of having the internet. It's because everything you want is on the internet. But you have to put, you can't do the same thing and expect a different outcome.
That's insanity.
Exactly. And that's what Albert Einstein said. You can't do the same thing over and over and over again and expect a different outcome. So us living in this area thinking that the police are supposed to do everything for us, but they're not. So then who are we going to turn to?
Well, the police are doing everything for us in what sense?
In what sense, as in, like, keeping us safe. Mm-hmm. So, but that's their job.
What's
though? They
point?
Got hired to do that, right?
Okay.
So how did they get to that? How did they get to that?
What do you mean? How did who get where?
How did they get to that level of authority?
They went to school.
They went
well,
to school.
Not
they
even.
Took training for like
they
6 months.
Training,
it
right.
doesn't even start there, in my perspective, because me doing my history and research, the purpose of the police has always been to kind have. They were the slave retrievers at first, mm-hmm. So right out of Jim Crow, right out of.
They would catch the slaves that ran away and bring them.
Right
back.
Out of right. the Black codes, actually during Jim Crow as well. Mm-hmm. You know, you could be. You were like less likely to make it home from a ride with the police than you was, you know,
walking
on your neighborhood, which now in society they like to say black on black crime if you get robbed or hit up on your way through your own neighborhood by people that look and reflect you. But at the same time, the culture and the essence from which policing came from was to retrieve fleeing property, which were fleeing humans, mm-hmm. fleeing slaves,
right,
and retrieving them and bringing them back to their forced, not voluntary servitude,
right,
and then sometimes not even to bring them back at all.
Right. What I'm saying is,
but now that translates into like the policing today, because a lot of times, you know, with this ability for a felony to, you know, kind of hinder all your progress or ability to advance where you are now, they throwing them around like they're free candy. You know, I personally have experience with police kind of, I would say, enforcing parts of the law that they deem as, you know, necessary in order to get a case over with. Mm-hmm. Or to get a person that they've been trying to get for years.
Right.
They are not always the most truthful. They're not these They're not this image that over time and, you know, the conditioning of folks and their acceptance of policing, they haven't always been the kindest. And the sole purposes of police as a organized state-sponsored or city or county-sponsored units were to kind of enforce the Jim Crow laws. Before that, there weren't really policing. Before the 1880s or 90s, there wasn't really policing, not in an organized fashion that it is today. And they did not hold as much authority over what goes on in their society as they do today.
So what were the Black Panthers? They were a police type of police. They policed the police.
The Black Panthers were a community-oriented protection group.
Protection, which is a policing the police. They were policing.
Say that again.
They were policing the police, an organization that policed the police.
They weren't policing the police. They were monitoring the police.
Which is what the police are supposed to do. They monitor society and the citizens in that society.
And elaborate on your point so I don't take it anywhere. That
so my point is they did something different.
So are you suggesting that the Black Panthers
did something different? They saw that there was a breach. They saw that there was a lack of law. So they stepped up to the plate and said, if they won't police us the right way, we will police them. I'm not saying go out and shoot people. I'm not saying go out and do that. But we have a lack of people who want to be a police officer because of the simple fact that they see that the bad police officers are not doing what they're supposed to do. So they're like, well, if the bad police officers don't do what they're supposed to do, then I'm not even going to be a police officer at all. I'm just going to say F the police and do what I want to do. They're not saying, well, if there's a lack of good officers, I'm going to go to school to be an officer so I can change that. They're not saying that. People aren't saying that. People aren't saying, well, if there's a lack of judicial members who are not
ethnically diverse
or ethnically right, they're not saying, I'm going to go to school and I'm going to be the next best thing. People aren't looking at it that way.
A lot of people are.
It takes time to get there, right? And it's going to take time for you to get there. So not everything is a quick fix. Like I said, everything takes time. So it's more of your mindset. It's either you're going to look at the police and say, you know what, they're not doing the right thing, so I'm not going to do the right thing. Or you look at the police and say, they're not doing the right thing, so just because they're not doing the right thing, I'm going to be the leader, and I'm going to show them how to do the right thing.
And usually when folks do that, like, i.e. Martin Luther King or Malcolm X or whoever else you could think of.
Bobby Brown, Huey P. Newton.
Like you just said, the Panther. So that was gonna, I was gonna ask a quick question that just was like a yes or no response needed, and then I was gonna go on a different thing. So are you saying like the Black Panther Party would be like a model replacement?
Or it could just be the next form of policing. Our generation could be the next Black Panther. When all those people who are in the who are in this area of policing now pass on and they pass the torch to the next generation, we could be the next Black Panthers. We could be the next people who have that authority to say that's right and that's wrong, but do it in the right way.
But how are we going to be able to take the torch if they're not even allowing us access to be in the same room as the torch?
It takes time.
But we've been waiting already for 500 years.
We haven't been waiting.
To be considered fully human?
No, we haven't.
We've only been fully human for maybe 60 years.
Then you're technically still two-thirds of a person. It's how you think.
But listen.
If you honestly let someone tell you you're two-thirds of a person, and you say, no, I'm not, and you stand on your word because you know your word, you don't got to tell no. You don't got to You don't got to do nothing.
Now, I hear you on that. And that's, that's ambitious and that's very true. Like, the power of the mind is... The power of the mind is so powerful that, it literally either makes you a slave or makes you a liberated revolutionary.
Exactly.
Now, before we change subject matter into the creating a course lab description, I just want to get some final thoughts from everybody that's participated and listened on. So, is it a possibility? And in two short statements, why or why not? And I'll start us. I think it is a possibility. We would need to create programs to kind of take the focus from what they consider crime habits and put them into focused habits. And by doing that, we eliminate even the need for cops. Is it a possibility?
I feel it is a possibility, and I feel it will probably be moving forward in the future, maybe the near future. And
why?
Because, like he said, our generation, we are going to step up, I feel. Our generation is not going for any of this anymore. That's why we're sitting here talking about it right now. Why we're allowed to talk about it right now, because we're not going for any of this anymore.
Is it a possibility? Why or why not?
From my moral backings, everything is a possibility because God is who I trust. So through him, anything is a possibility. But it's up to... It's either we step up and not step up to just say, I have the power to do this. So I'm going to... Because when you have that mentality, you become your oppressor. When you have the mentality of, they're doing that to me, so I'm going to do it to them, you become your oppressor. So it's either we step up and be more loving in the way we do things, or... I don't know.
Pass it now. Is it a possibility? Why or why not?
It all depends. It would be hard if there wasn't a barrier, because it's all about trust.
Right.
You gotta have that trust. Because with the police, you supposedly trust them to take care of you. It's hard to explain, but you understand what I'm saying, right? And without that, who would we trust? Would we trust each other?
Can't trust them, but you honestly don't trust.
And, because either way, there has to be some kind of rules. There has to be barriers, because without that, it's hard to see the whole picture, and you can't see from that afar, and you kind of have to go slowly and have the rules of it.
So yeah. Is that a yes or no?
Yeah, it's hard. It's a hard answer. I'm indecisive.
Further discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm adding to what she says. Like I said, we remove police, there's gonna be something else that has to replace it. Point blank. Period. People are just not gonna function that way. Just like if we remove the government, something else is gonna have to replace it. Promise you. But.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's possible, but it definitely is in our lifetime. But I think what we really need to do right now is eliminate guns from police. Removing that sort of power would definitely be...
That authority.
Yeah. But I feel like that's just... everybody... feels differently about things, so it's sort of hard to say yes or no about this topic, but yeah, no, for sure. But I think right now we just need to stop going towards violence, and the police need to chill out,
everybody needs to relax.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Acting out of emotion.
Yeah.
Acting out of emotion is what gets people killed.
I think authority also gets people killed. All right, I added a flag at that. So now we're going to be kind of changing course into creating a course lab description. So for this, I got like maybe 5 or 6 starting points we could start like thinking in our head.
Talking about more stuff?
Yeah, we're going to talk about more stuff. This stuff actually pertains to juxtaposition, though. And so Tej is going to step out real quick, but we're going to continue the conversation. What we're doing is we need to create basically a description about what the textile lab is and what we do here. I've been here about a year, and I kind of got my idea of what, you know, the textile lab does, because, you know, I do a lot of my own stuff, but I also do take a lot of, like, roles of initiating here. So first thing is that I got for us to kind of get our brain juices going is, what do we do in our lab on a daily basis? How are we set apart from and distinguished from the rest of the labs, like graphics, enviro, contemporary, and tactical? And how working in our labs has enhanced us as artists? And we're going to try to make it 5 sentences or less, so about a paragraph. Also, just to get your brain juices flowing, is, what does juxta mean to you? You know, what is this opportunity, being a part of this program, how does it affect you? What does it mean to you? All right. Is everybody ready to go straight into another topic, or... do we need a break?
Go for it.
All right, so I'm going to start it off with, like, how would you describe what we do in juxta? I'm going to take some notes, so I'll be passing the phone around while we do it, and if you could just get it to whoever starts talking.
Is it on?
Yep.
So what is juxta?
Yeah, it's the first little thing on your own.
What do we do? So basically what we do in our lab, textile lab, is we do like freelance work, freelance screen printing. That's like the overarching deal that we got going on. But other than that, like, we have like, we're teamed up with the graphics lab now. So we have the opportunity to do graphic designing, conceptual art making. So we do a lot of planning, and yeah, that's basically it. Just a lot of planning and screen printing.
What sets us apart?
What sets us apart? It's because we're the ones doing the work. Like, we're doing the hands-on work. Like, graphics labs, they do, like, well, we're like the merchandise people, so we're the one actually selling work. People, like, companies come to juxta, but they're technically coming to textile, and they're giving us a job, and we do it. And so, like, that's what juxta is. Mainly what juxta is known for is doing, like, work for other companies as far as screen printing goes.
If you could answer one of the questions.
What juxta means to me, it's an opportunity to really get out there in the world, because I'm pretty young, really young, and I don't really know much out there, and I don't really know how to put myself out there. So juxta is a step up to kind of understand more about art in the world, and how to connect myself with that and put out my own art. Yeah.
Yeah, for me, Juxta is just a place for young individuals to create art and learn their craft kind of before college or before, like, we're getting, like, a actual, we're learning skills before we go off into the future as, you know, adults. So it's really like a DIY, do-it-yourself mentality, you know, Juxta is.
Most definitely.
Yeah, you gotta, like, put in the work to, like, get to, you know, places, you know.
Adventures.
Yeah, for real. And
your knowledge.
Yeah, so.
Asharia, we're trying to create, you were here when I told you what we're talking about.
Ew.
So, if you could kind of give us some input of yours about what Juxta is to you, what do we do here, or, like, you know, how we are distinguished from the other labs. Can I get your opinion on this one, too?
He said no. Man, I should have said no like Griffin. Okay, I don't know. What do I say? Well, here in the textile lab, we, like, make shirts. We print shirts. We produce them. We're working on some other merchandise and stuff. Yeah. I don't know. And then we work on graphics so we can make the graphics on the T-shirts and stuff. I'm doing horrible at this, guys. This is not even funny.
If you don't got nothing right now,
you ain't got nothing. Get off the mic.
So Juxta to me in my time here has been kind of like a innovative hub. I come here, we got like some dope individuals like you guys. We've had dope individuals with like just an array of like perspective, array of like, you know, individualistic originality. We just had a lot of original people come through here in my time, and everybody has been able to kind of add and shape the kind of culture that we work in as a unit and just as a brand. I think if I was to try to describe in a sentence or less what Juxta is to me, I would say Juxta is opportunity awaiting. You could use that opportunity to enhance your artistic ability and skill set, or, you know, just to get familiar with some language and, you know, just to kind of do something new. I've come in here and on days where, like, you know, I would think that I'm not in the mood to do nothing and then end up, you know, just creating some type of something that's either sentimental or symbolic to, you know, some type of subconscious plan that I've had.
Tasia.
So we're saying what Juxta is?
Either what it is or, like, if you would describe it to someone else.
What Juxta means to me.
Yeah, something like that.
Juxta actually means a lot to me. I've been working here for a while, since I was, like, 14. And I'm 16 now, so I was, like, a freshman in high school when I first started. But to be honest, I, like, Juxta means a lot to me because before I came here, I really didn't know how to draw. I could only draw, like, stick figures or, like, bad shapes. But now I wouldn't say I'm, like, the best, but I'm decent at drawing. And also, I think it's, like, a big opportunity because we have, like, a lot of programs going here. Like, PAC, that's, like, this, like, one, like, this monthly meeting to, like, find college or, like, what else do we do? Housing and stuff?
Well, in tactical, we do a lot more.
Yeah.
So the ability,
like, there's just, like, a lot of resources, like, big opportunity, I guess. And it's, like, good, like, it's a good youth program. if like you're doing this through Step Up. But yeah.
What's the vibe like working here for you guys? For me, it's been really chilled, flexible schedule, you know, supportive.
To be honest, some days I'm low key kind of crazy. So some days I've come in like really mad, but then like as soon as I walk in and like I see all you guys, I'm like kind of happy, I guess, or like a smile. I don't know if you guys see me every day. I have a smile on my face, like when I walk in here, because it's like a good environment. You know what I mean? It's like a good place. Like this is low key like a safe place if you think about it. Like it's in the cut, but yeah. A good vibe. Everybody's nice. That's the Minnesota people for you. Does anybody else want to say anything?
It's really flexible.
Here.
Pass it to the left.
It's really flexible. Like I have other streams of income that I have to attend to. So it really helps when they're able to it's really helpful when they're able to be flexible with your schedule, which really helps a lot.
Which sets us like apart from a lot of other jobs.
It's comfortable to be here. I don't know how to speak for anyone else, but I'm usually not comfortable with people. But here, I feel like I can really, open up a little bit more since it's a comfortable atmosphere. So, that's a good working place. It's just easier to get things done.
Okay, I think it's real laid back. It's real chill. It's cool. Everybody's chill here. There ain't no problems. I'm not beefing with nobody. So, that's cool. But yeah, everybody's real welcoming. They're not like stuck up for weird type stuff. Like they ain't trying to talk to you. Everything. No, I said weird. But everything pretty cool. Like people is cool. Work is cool. Work is work. But you know, it's fun. It's cool. You know?
Motivated. I feel motivated when I come here. At home, I don't get anything done. I mean, I get stuff done at home, but like once I come here, I feel like really productive. So yeah, big up Juxtaposition Arts.
All right, that's that.